As we prepare to hear scripture read and the word proclaimed, let us come to God praying for his guidance. Let us pray. Oh God, we pray that you would help us to hear your holy word today, that we might truly understand all that you would have us to understand, and that understanding it, that we might believe, that it might take root in our lives, that believing we may follow with all faithfulness and obedience and seek your honor and glory in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Today's first scripture reading comes from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 1. Listen to the word of God. He is the image of the invisible God, speaking of Christ, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given me to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed in his saints, to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he who we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The second reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. This follows right after last week's lectionary reading, that story of the parable of the Good Samaritan, which also came right after Jesus sent 70 before him into the different villages. And so here Jesus is entering into a village that they have gone before him to after he's just told the story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Listen to the word of God. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." So, I am not a skilled chef by any stretch of the imagination. I am not a master baker like others in this congregation, nor do I have any training. And yet, when our family gathers for Thanksgiving, I almost always assume the role of meal planner and cook. Perhaps this is because I actually enjoy cooking a nice meal. I really do not enjoy what usually we have to do, which is throwing something together because we don't have much time. I enjoy crafting a nice meal. In many ways, this may be one of the ways that my love for my family expresses itself. So usually I can be in the kitchen and things are going on around me and I still interject into the conversations. I hear all this going on. I overhear stories. I enjoy the company of my family. However, a few years ago, we were gathered at a beach house. And as I was preparing the meal, everyone went out on the deck to enjoy the beautiful view. And as I worked to prepare food, I could hear laughter and voices out on the deck. And I knew I was missing important family time. I felt that I was really outside and ostracized from the warmth and the fun that I could overhear. So I wanted to rush through what I was doing so that I could join in with the family, join in with the fun. And as I rushed, I have to admit that I felt a little resentful that I was doing all the work. Even though I had agreed to do this, and even though I actually volunteered, and actually I usually enjoyed it very much, I became a little bit frustrated that I felt that I had been left out, and resentful that I was doing all the work and they were having all the fun. So when I hear this story of Mary and Martha, you know that I admit I can relate to Martha's frustration. You see, she's welcomed Jesus into her home. She is fulfilling that mandate for hospitality that we talked about when Jesus sent the 70 disciples before him. She has welcomed these guests to share the sacredness of family space. It's really interesting, I think, to note that Luke specifically says that Martha opened her home, implying that she was an independent woman, financially stable. For if she had lived with a male family member, any male family member, a husband, a brother, an uncle, Luke would have called it their home. He would have mentioned their names. Because in first century Palestine, the house is attributed to the family's oldest man, not to a woman. Men were always heads of the family, so Martha's house, in some ways, the fact that she was the head of the house was in and of itself a break in the societal norms. But Luke tells us here that Martha welcomes them into her house. She welcomes Jesus. It doesn't specifically tell us, but we can assume because we know from other stories that Jesus was really never alone unless he went off by himself to pray. He was followed by disciples, not just the 12, but as the 70 who he sent before tells us, many disciples. So we assume that Martha is now not only welcoming Jesus into her home, she's welcoming a crowd into her home. And remember, there is no KFC on the corner to go pick up some food, to go get Dairy Queen chicken tenders. No, this is all left for her to prepare. See, Martha, as the host, oversees the care of her honored guest and his disciples. And the traditional duty of Mary would be to assist her sister. But Mary also breaks societal norms by sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening. The very posture of being at Jesus' feet was the posture of a disciple. And it was highly unusual for a first century Palestine woman to join the men in learning. And it was especially unusual if she had other duties to attend to. So Martha continues working, becoming more and more frustrated as she watches Mary over there sitting. I can imagine her in the kitchen chopping vegetables, the chopping getting louder and louder as she looks over every few seconds to see Mary and see if Mary has heard this growing sound, has realized that she is needed. Martha's frustration grows and grows, and finally she decides to do something. So what should she do? Well, she could go over and gently tap Mary on the shoulder. She could even stand in the door frame and make some motions to Mary to come to her. But Martha does not decide to do that. No, no, rather she goes to Jesus and she complains to Jesus. And if you read it carefully, she sounds a little bit like a petulant teenager. She asks Jesus, "Do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself?" So rather than asking Mary herself, she asked Jesus to tell Mary to assist her, to tell Mary to help her. And she puts Jesus in a hard position because she's telling him, if you don't tell her, then it's a way of demonstrating you care for me. Tell her. Show me that you care for me by telling her. And by making this actual request, she is forcing Jesus to choose. By wording it this way, she has positioned it so that if Jesus does not tell Mary to help, she takes that as meaning that he doesn't care for her. Modern psychologists call this triangulation. You may have heard of it before. So Martha has an issue with Mary, and instead of going to Mary, she goes to Jesus. And she wants Jesus to tell Mary instead of her telling Mary. So she makes a beautiful triangle. When you have an issue with one person, and instead of talking about it with them, you go to the other person. You talk about the other person. And usually, it's fairly universally considered to be a very destructive behavior. But here's Martha triangulating. And Jesus does not fall into that triangle. You know, he actually doesn't address Mary at all. But rather, he responds directly to Martha, and he sees her fully. He acknowledges and sees that she is worried, that she is frustrated and distracted. So what does he see when he says, "Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things"? Well, perhaps what he sees is the problem that she was focused on Mary. And the fact that Mary wasn't helping, perhaps frustration and anger had overwhelmed her good intentions. Perhaps she was worried, distracted by her responsibilities as a host, her desire to fulfill Jesus' teaching, her desire to welcome the stranger into our midst. After all, Jesus, as I mentioned right before this passage, had shared the parable of the Good Samaritan, where in response to the lawyer's question, "Who is my neighbor?" he had told this parable. You see, the lawyer thought that God could be had simply by learning all the right things, and that he would have a front row seat in heaven if he would just do all the right things. And Jesus turns it upside down by telling him that it's not what you know or what you have that is important. It is how you treat others that is important. Even those we look down on, like in that case, the Samaritans in that culture. And then Jesus tells the lawyer to go and do like the Good Samaritan. Go and do. Well, here Martha is. She's trying to go and do. She's trying to be hospitable. She's trying to welcome the neighbor. And basically, she gets told to stop going and doing and sit down and learn something. But Jesus reminds her gently that what Mary has chosen is the better part, which will not be taken from her. So, what does this mean? Does it contradict what Jesus had just been teaching in the parable of the Good Samaritan? I am reminded of a conference years ago where I encountered two leaders who described themselves as, "She is Martha, I am Mary." As if these descriptors could never be interchangeable. Well, possibly describing themselves this way because we are all prone to be, by personality, to be more attracted to being one way or the other. Like Martha, we might be somebody who naturally welcomes and serves others, for whom it is easy to host a party Or like Mary, we might naturally be more contemplative, one who enjoys teaching others and enjoys learning, enjoys study. However, with this story of Martha and Mary, Luke wants to tell us something very important. It takes both. We are prone by personality to choose one or the other, but one or the other is not the choice given. The reality is, we can't know who it is that we worship or why we serve without studying the Word of God on a regular basis. For God is so unlike us, thanks be to God, that we will not worship God and serve God unless we continually expose ourselves to who God is, to study, to worship, to prayer. Without this, we will actually only worship our concept, our idea of God, and this often can turn into idolatry. The teachings of Jesus remind us that both are needed. Jesus tells us parables and stories that remind us that we need both the ministry of the Word, the study, the worship, the fellowship, the prayer, and the what we call the study of diakonia, the works of service, the works of love. Both are important and both are necessary. It is life in Him and then life through Him. In the parable of the Good Samaritan preceding this story, the ministry of diakonia is the most needed and important. To meet the need of the person who has been beaten and is lying on the side of the road, when you see a need, to meet that need. And in this story with Mary and Martha, the ministry of the Word is lifted up as being the better part. For at this moment it is, because they were in the very presence of Jesus. It is not either or, it is both and. You know, next to my desk, I call it my lair. It's actually a little study, but I do all my things in there. I make all my things and do all the things. I have a bulletin board where I have a lot of things thumbtacked. But one is a saying that I have used in teaching as I have prepared lessons over the years. It just says, before how, ... why. Reminding myself that teaching the how of something loses meaning if the student does not know the why it is important. And today I suggest that we could go one step further before why, ... who? Who is the one we serve? Who is the one who fuels our ministry and our good actions, our love for neighbor? Do we do these things for ourselves, for the good feeling that we get? Do we do these things before the world because there is lots of need in the world? Do we do these things for God, knowing that God loves all and has called us to love and serve all as well? Well, as I think of this, how, why, and who, Mary helps us, for it is without Mary's attitude, without sitting at the feet of Christ and listening to Him, we can, as humans, tend to worship things that are not God. We can tend to worship prosperity. We can tend to kind of begin to believe that if we are good, that we will be rewarded. We can tend to worship self-reliance, that we and others should be able to take care of ourselves. We can tend to worship civil religion, the idea that our nation is more favored than other nations, even though we profess that God has made all people and loves all people. We can even sometimes worship a token or an absent God, one that we only pray to before a ball game or a meeting or an event, but we don't actually involve in our daily life or think that He is actually concerned with our daily life. You know, this story helps us see. Martha reminds us that we are called to do the ministry of diaconia, to love and serve one another. But Mary reminds us where the strength and the power to do this ministry comes from. That it comes from sitting at the very feet of Jesus. The ministry of the word, worship, study, prayer, contemplation, this life in him gives the fuel, the inspiration, the direction for the ministry of the diaconia, the works that we can do, loving one another through him. And I promise I had no idea what Catherine was going to say today. But there is a truth that the power comes from God. Jesus does not say that what Martha is doing, hospitality and service, is wrong. No, rather he invites her to see that it's not either or, either work or sit at Jesus' feet, but it is both and. Our actions in love and service flow from our connection to our God of love. Through gathering as this community to worship, refreshing ourselves with the living water of Scripture, praying and studying the Word of God, through constant connection to God and to one another, we know that a life connected to God and a life connected to one another is the most meaningful life there is. It is life in Him and through Him. I'll tell you one more family story. I did not know my daddy was coming today. A few years ago, I was at Mom and Dad's the day after Christmas. And so we were all slowly getting up. We are not morning people. We were having our coffee, sitting around and talking. And I decided to make toast and jelly for breakfast. So I butter the bread and I put it in the toaster, press the button, sit down with Dad, drinking my coffee. The toaster dings and I go over, but the butter's not melted. So I look at the machine again, and I then turn up the temperature. I figure I've just left it on too low, and it just really hasn't done much. I set the timer again. I sit down for more coffee with Dad, and I wait for the ding, and it dings, and still I get up, and the butter is not melted. So perplexed, I look around, and the toaster is not plugged in. My dad likes to unplug all the things. Well, just as that toaster needed to be plugged in and receiving electricity, Christians need to be connected to God, to receive strength and power to do what God has called us to do. Jesus is here reminding us that we can strive to do good and try to do all the right things, pressing the button, putting the stuff in the machine. But if we are not connected to the source, all of our striving is useless. Friends, remember that it's not either or. We are not called to be just Mary or Martha. We are called to be both. We are called to the ministry of the Word, life sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning from Him every day, knowing more about Jesus. And we are also called to the ministry of diaconia, the outpouring of love and service for others. That comes because He first loved us. We are called to life in Him and through Him. It is through sitting at the feet of Jesus that we are able to do God's good work here on earth. Friends, let us spend time with Jesus, and then let us go forth to the world to love and to serve.